We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. What a day to grow in the things of God, don't you think? And do you have a plan in place to grow today? If not, want to mention to you that Advanced Christian Training Schools has a free video Bible school that is available tonight in our fellowship hall from 6 to 9 p.m. If I am not mistaken, they are using a course by Dr. Charles Stanley at this point in time. And so if you're interested in that, from 6 to 9 p.m., and this will be the last opportunity that you have to get in on one of these classes for the next couple of weeks. Ted and Linda are traveling to East Africa, I believe it is, and are going to be setting up about six Bible schools where they are traveling there. They're going to be doing a lot of ministry and a lot of work. And so if you'd like to take advantage of that, come out tonight from 6 to 9 p.m. and grow in your walk with the Lord. Want to remind you about tomorrow, our vintage service at 11 a.m. Plenty of seats available. That's one of the things that I say. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago we had a lady, she showed up and she was the first one there. And she said, "Do you still have any seats?" And I said, "Well, you know, if we run out of seats, we do have standing room available." And so if you'd like to come out, we are studying through the book of Isaiah right now. And this class tomorrow will be one. And then we will have a couple of weeks off of our vintage service. We've got some special things coming up over the next couple of weeks. So those are coming up, but we will have vintage at 11 tomorrow and boys and girls ministry tomorrow night at 6 p.m. For food. 6:30 is the service time, and gets over at 7:45. Also on Wednesday night, we do have a ladies' Bible study that takes place. it's a smaller Bible study. Our facilities, if y'all would be praying about our facilities, there are more things we could do if we had larger facilities. And so if you would be praying for God to just open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that we don't have room enough to contain, we would love to expand and be able to reach our community with even more ministries. And so that's where we are at. But then the next couple of Wednesdays, we've got some different things going on. So we will be taking those Wednesdays off. Also want to remind you, for those of you who are interested, know somebody in the Merritt Island area whose kids could use a new pair of school shoes, this coming Sunday, July the 26th, July the 26th, they'd need to be there so we'd know who they are, what their name is, what size shoe they wear. And then on August the 2nd, we're going to have a joint service. Everybody's going to be in our sanctuary, and we are going to be blessing kids. We're going to be having an illustrated sermon. We're just going to be ministering to the whole family. And so we're really looking forward to that day, that day of ministry that takes place on August the 2nd. Those are the announcements that we have. And if you would like to partner with us, here on the Refresh Radio broadcast, if it only costs about $1 a day, if is what we've been asking people from our congregation to do, and we're looking to raise up the required number of people who, through everyone's combined efforts, that we would be able to fund this effectively and possibly enhance some of the availabilities that we have, maybe adding some equipment that something happens and I wasn't able to come in, that I could record prior to coming in here. And so outside of that, almost every broadcast that you have heard has been done right here in the studio of WMIE 91.5 FM. So those are some of the things that we are facing. I want to take you to Genesis chapter 39. We have been talking about the life of Joseph, and the past several broadcasts we've been talking about how God had given him great success. With success comes great challenges. With success comes a great deal of temptation as well. And so that's what we are going to read about. We're going to look at the end of verse number 6 of Genesis 39 and go on and read for several verses. And so let's just go ahead and read what it says. Now, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Besides being successful, he was handsome. And, some people just have everything. You know, this guy was, right now he's in slavery, but he's getting ready to get promoted to prime minister in Egypt. And then just for good measure, he's handsome too. I happen to have a face for radio, whatever it is, looks fade, but godliness endures forever. Amen. And verse number 7, and I don't know why I got off on that. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time, when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought in to us a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened, when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside." So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to me to mock me. So it happened, as I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled outside. So it was, when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, 'Your servant did to me after this manner,' that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison." So let me just explain to you that just because you are experiencing favor does not mean that you will never face some challenging setbacks. I grew up in Oklahoma. There was a 100,000-watt radio station antenna 1 mile directly north of my house. In those days, we could pick up the phone and we could listen to the country and western station. You could pick up the phone and you could listen to the radio. I don't really know what caused the problem, but it was a very powerful radio station. And there was a country song by a singer, I believe her name was Lynn Anderson, and the song went something like this: "You never promised me a rose garden." And I want you to know that when God is with us and we are growing in favor, and he does bless us individually, and then he blesses those that we work for, that it does not mean that we will never face any problems, any challenges, or any setbacks. One of the companies that I worked for when it went out of business, the company that was taking over for them, promised that they were going to bring me on at an even greater capacity than what I had before. And what happened was, 1 week before I was supposed to take on that new responsibility, they held me over for a meeting afterwards and said, oh, by the way, we're not going to do that. We will let you just be just a regular salesperson. So instead of being in management, I would have just been a regular retail person on the floor. And that was not what brought me. I mean, it was the job that brought me to Florida, but it wasn't the job that I was called to do. And when I came to Florida, I said, God, if you are, we will go wherever you want us to go. We will do whatever you want us to do, but you called us into the ministry. And so you will have to make a place of ministry available for us. And so that job ended. When I went back after that meeting, I'm normally a pretty happy-go-lucky guy. All of the people who worked for me, when they saw the countenance that I had on my face, they knew that something was wrong, and they began to ask what it was. And it didn't take long. When the company's going to take over in a week, doesn't take long to realize, hey, they didn't do for Bob what they said they were going to do. If you've never been let down by a person, you are in the very rare minority. And so I want you to know that God is not only in charge of the promotion, but he even rules and reigns in the setbacks. I learned to drive with I think it was a 1951 Ford is what I learned to drive in on my grandfather's property. And it had three different gears. It was a manual transmission. And those gears were on the column. My grandfather had just a little bit of land, a couple of acres. And so there was a little drive area that I could learn to drive. You know, you could drive maybe 100 feet, 150 feet, and then you'd have to turn around and do it all over again. And whenever you went to change gears, you'd have to put the clutch in order to change gears. And when that happened, you would have to take your foot off the accelerator. But what you were doing was actually positioning the gears in the transmission so that you could reach greater capacity than what you had before. And when God, when we're having a setback in our life, I want to ask you, do you still have trust in God that he is sovereign even over the setback, even over the gear change, to where he's positioning you beyond your understanding? See, a lot of people say that they trust God as long as they understand all of the details. But I believe that greater faith and greater trust is exemplified in God when we say, God, this is beyond my understanding, but I trust you. I mean, after all, how arrogant is it of man to think that we are going to be able to comprehend in our finite bodies, in our finite minds, that we are going to be able to comprehend all the ways, all the thoughts, all of the understandings of an infinite, boundless, all-knowing, all-wise God. But if we know that he loves us and he works all things together for the good of those who love him and to those who are called according to his purpose, then we can prevent bitterness from rising in our hearts. And so Joseph was here. Things were going well. And it says, you know, he had been a relatively young man. He was handsome in form and handsome in appearance. And all of a sudden, Potiphar's wife began to have, as what it says here in verse number 7, longing eyes for Joseph. We live in a society that is enamored with youth. It is enamored with success. And it is enamored with power, even to the point of breaking covenant. And this woman, as the first lady of a high-ranking Egyptian official, there was still something missing inside of her. And I just feel like right now that someone's listening, and on the outside you have everything that the world has to offer. You've got the marriage, the home, the car, the family, the health. You've got everything that the world has to offer, but there's something on the inside of you that is empty, and there's a longing, and the devil will try to get you to long for someone else when God is actually wanting you to long for him. And so I just encourage you today that if you're like this wife of Potiphar, and you just have this emptiness on the inside, I want to encourage you, don't look to trade in your family on a younger model. Don't trade in all of the trappings for something that is going to actually deprive you of all that. This woman's act was getting ready to have a negative effect upon Joseph, and it was going to have a negative effect upon her. It was going to have a negative effect upon all the employees in Potiphar's house. It was going to have a negative effect on Potiphar, all because this woman didn't know what to do with her emptiness. In our current society, we have people that try to fulfill their emptiness with alcohol, with drugs, with work, with society, with pleasure. I've never seen such a hedonistic society where it's all about pleasuring themselves, and yet they refuse to cry out for the one person who could bring completion and healing to their heart. And so Joseph was there, and it was her invitation to come and lie with me. You know, Proverbs says that folly cries out in the streets, that there was the adulterous woman, and she was crying, and he looked out the window, and he watched as she grabbed a young man and said, "My husband has gone away, and I've done all of the religious, listen, I've done all of the religious rituals and purification things that need to be done. My husband's gone, and he won't come back for a long time. Come into my bedroom. I've changed the linens. I have perfumed the place. It is absolutely prepared, and won't you come in?" And it says he doesn't realize that the ways of the dead are there, that an arrow would pierce his own liver. I'm telling you, since the 50s and the 60s, when the sexual revolution has been going on, we have not been increasing in glory. We have been, as a country, diminishing in glory because we have chosen to run after things other than God. So this woman issues the invitation, "Lie with me." And Joseph refused. Listen, you have the right to say no to sin. You have the right to say no to sin, even if it has detrimental effects. Pastors, we still have the right to say no to sin, even if it has negative effects in the short term. It is going to have long-term rewards associated with it as far as eternity goes. We still have the right to control our own vessels, our own bodies, as instruments of righteousness instead of instruments of wickedness. Just because the opportunity to sin is there does not mean that we should avail ourselves of that opportunity. Take a stand for righteousness and say, "I will not participate in this." And so this woman comes and he says, he refused. Can you imagine the bravery and the courage that it took to refuse your master's wife's instruction? This was, if I can put it in this, civil disobedience. This was a person that said, "Your husband is over me, and I am over people, and I'm not going to get out from underneath my mission. I'm not going to get out from underneath my mission for you. I'm going to have to disobey. I'm going to have to respectfully disobey." The disciples in the book of Acts said, "Choose this day or choose for yourselves whether it is right to obey God or to obey you. But as for us, we're going to obey God. And so, anyway, he says, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has into my hand. Joseph realized what great trust Potiphar had placed in him, and he wasn't going to compromise that trust. You know why? Because I believe he was looking for an opportunity to bring glory and honor to God. He was operating by biblical principles in an unbiblical society. There's only one reason you do that, and that is to make the God of heaven and earth known. Okay? One of my favorite young ladies in the scriptures is a little girl who's got no name. She was carried off as a prisoner of war from Israel, and she became a servant in Naaman's household, another military officer. He had leprosy, and that little girl said, oh, if you were just in Israel, if you were just in Israel, the God that I know could heal you of your leprosy. And that one little conversation spurred Naaman to go to his king, who sent a letter with Naaman to the king of Israel, who freaked out and thought that the king of Assyria was trying to pick a fight with him. And the prophet says, don't panic, send him to me. We will address the situation. All because a young lady who was held in captivity said, I will honor God even in adverse circumstances. So Joseph goes on and he says, he doesn't even know everything he owns. God has blessed it so abundantly, he doesn't even have an accurate inventory. He said, there is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you. And if you will allow me, I'm going to step back from the microphone just a little bit. Because you are his wife. That's the way that I read that. I kind of read in an animated fashion. I don't just read over the words. He hasn't kept anything back in this house from me except for you, because you're his wife. And that should have been a wake-up call to her, and said, you know what? That should have been a statement of value to her. That in spite of all of his possessions, the one thing that he had reserved strictly for himself was his wife, and his wife was not content with that. And Joseph says this, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And folks, I want you to know that in spite of social changes that have happened since Joseph was in Egypt, that it's still great wickedness. The act that this woman was trying to commit, marital unfaithfulness, it was still great wickedness. And Joseph said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Remember, there were no witnesses in the house. All of the servants were gone. It was just Joseph and this woman. If there was ever an opportunity to sin and get away with it, Joseph had it. And he said, I will not sin against God in public, and I will not sin against my God in private. I will not commit this great wickedness. Verse number 10, it says, so it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. Okay. And so here Joseph is experiencing all of this success, and he's resisted temptation once, praise God. But I want you to understand the persistence of the devil and the persistence of the temptation that he uses day by day. It says, that's what it says. Verse 10, she spoke to Joseph day by day. Every day she was trying to wear him down. Every day she was trying to get him to compromise his values every day. And folks, we need to realize that the world is much more persistent, and they will try and wear down the standard of righteousness on a daily basis. We need to be wise. We need to be wise. And so I just encourage you that if you have resisted so far, praise God. Put up extra protection, because the enemy has not surrendered. Just because you told him no once doesn't mean he has given up, and he does not take no as a final answer. How many of you remember that game show? I think it was Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and they kept saying, is that your final answer? Is that your final answer? The devil does not take no as your final answer. He continuously tries to berate you until you will compromise. To make a long story short, there came a day where Joseph entered the house and there was no one else in the house. And he found himself in a very vulnerable situation. And he said, you know what? I would rather run out of here without any clothes than I would to compromise and potentially get by with a secret sin. You know, David is the contrary to this. One day he did commit sexual sin. He thought it was a secret until one day God sent the prophet to him and said, you are the man. And at that point in time, we get Psalm 51, where David repented of his sins. Folks, repentance is a tremendous gift. But I also want to encourage you that righteousness is a gift from God as well. The ability to say no to sin. You see, whenever we sin, not only are we injured, but others are injured as well. And so if you feel like you're just under perpetual attack, I'm going to close today's broadcast and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to hide the Word of God more in your heart than you ever have before, because the Scripture says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. If you want to know one of the reasons why sin is so perpetual in our society, so pervasive, it is because people do not know the word of God or the power thereof. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we want to thank you, God, that you have given us the ability to say no. Thank you for your favor. Lord, I pray for those who are experiencing tremendous success right now, Lord, that their hearts would not be puffed up, but Lord, instead, they would be on guard, if you will, against any potential attacks from the enemy. Lord, teach us to say no the first time. Teach us to say no the second time, the thousandth time, the millionth time. Teach us to say yes to righteousness and no to sin. Anyone who's under attack right now, Lord, would you equip them with your word to be victorious over temptation. In Jesus' name, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.